Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend. Wine coolers, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none, plus great weekly specials. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go there and stock up tonight. I am proudly in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day. Do you really have to play this?
I know. This first thing I thought of was...
Do you really have to play this? All right, go ahead, play it.
A pitch on Nava, and he chops it on the right side. They're going to fire wildly to the plate. Coming is one run. Another run scores. Hanley Ramirez, the first baseman, made a brutal throw to the plate, and the Angels get two runs in and win the ball game 2-1.
Yeah, brother.
Were you up at a quarter after one this morning to catch it?
No.
Not only that, it's Daniel Nava. He used to play for the Red Sox.
Terry Smith, by the way, old friend of mine. Terry's now the Angels play-by-play announcer. As I mentioned before, Terry used to be the Ohio State football and basketball play-by-play guy before Paul Keels. So I've known Terry for 25 years. Really great guy. I like Terry a lot. Was really thrilled when he got the Angels thing because I know how much he loves baseball. All right, Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Rich, welcome. Great to have you with us. What were some of the quick takes away from Big Ten Media Days?
Well, I mean, it has to start with the whole issue of negative recruiting. And
Which obviously your name is attached to.
Exactly. You know, it's funny how things work out. I had the interview with James Franklin on June 23rd. It was published June 26th. And I know it got some run. I guess that's what I was told. I know we got a lot of hits on our website. And, you know, it got quiet. And then it became an issue on Tuesday when a Michigan State beat writer asked Mark D'Antonio and Urban Meyer about James's remarks and implications that that schools, and he implied Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Notre Dame were using the Jerry Sandusky scandal against Penn State in negative recruiting. And so it went from there, and it kind of blew up on Tuesday. It escalated very quickly. And, you know, we weren't afforded the opportunity of speaking to James after D'Antonio and Meyer made their remarks. He did speak to Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports, which I know you're aware of, Steve.
Right.
Backtracked a little bit. Didn't say he was taken out of context, which I'm glad. Didn't say I misquoted him, which I'm glad, because I didn't. But he backtracked a little bit on it. I don't have an answer of why he mentioned those schools and why he was referencing those schools, but I do understand, as I wrote today, I do understand his frustration, and I do understand Sandy Barber's frustration. And she didn't back down on Tuesday, and I give her credit for that. She was very passionate and very – it was clear – that she was very upset with whatever she didn't name schools with schools using the scandal against Penn State and saying specifically that Penn State's going to be put on probation again.
Right, and I think that's the part where I think people have been frustrated because Penn State is the only school, I believe, in the history of the NCAA that actually has been handed givebacks, where it's actually been rolled back. I think no other school has ever had it rolled back on them except Penn State. And so, all right. Now we go from there. Also with Sandy Barber, she was asked about the Pitt series, which, of course, begins this year, runs for 4 years. In the midst of this, though, they have scheduled Auburn, and they only have the three non-conference openings. And you and I both know they only have really essentially one, you know, non-conference home and away. Yep. They only have one non-conference home and away opening.
Right. With a Power 5 team. Right.
Yeah. The other two have to be home games.
Yes. Understand.
So what did she say about Pitt moving forward?
I think she expressed interest about scheduling Pitt. I can't try to remember because it was it was during the whole hubbub about the negative recruiting, and I'm just trying to remember because everything happened so quickly. But I think she said, and maybe somebody, you've read something, I think she said she would like to play Pitt more regularly. Am I right about that?
Well, obviously, between now and 2025, they're really,
it could be tough.
There's no tough to have that conversation because they've got Pitt to 19, they've got Virginia Tech in 20, 21, 22 Auburn, 23, I think, is Virginia Tech again, 24, 25 is West Virginia, so there are no openings at the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like she said, she's going to try to schedule, you know, I think she made it clear when asked about the Auburn home and home that she's going to try to do more of that, you know, when the opportunity arises, when there's an opening. And I think that's great. I mean, I applaud, you know, her and James, you know, scheduling Auburn. I think that's a great, great move. I do.
I think people are more excited about that in terms of the overall scope of it than other people they can schedule.
I agree with that. I know I am.
I am too.
I know I am, but I do agree with you. I mean, I think that sends a pretty strong signal that they are not backing away or afraid to play anybody when you schedule a home and home against Auburn. I give Auburn credit. You know, how many schools in the Southeastern Conference are willing to come north? I mean, we've only at Penn State covering Penn State,
LSU, and Alabama.
Right. I was going to say at Penn State we've seen Alabama, and that's been it. And LSU has too.
Yep.
And that's it. That's the list. So, you know, you got to give Auburn credit, too, in that respect.
Yeah, because LSU is going to go up and play at Lambeau Field this year. They went up to Syracuse. They played at West Virginia. So LSU will do it.
Yep.
Other schools act as if the Mason-Dixon line is the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
So, all right. Your impressions, now, obviously, everybody's going to be optimistic going into this thing. But what were your impressions in talking to the Penn State players about why they are optimistic?
Well, let's start with Brian Guy. Brian Guy, it was very complimentary toward Matt Limegrover, the offensive line coach, and Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator. I think he's very excited. Sounded like the offensive line, the returners, and the new guys are very excited. I mean, I think if they could give the offensive line a little bit of help in terms of scheme and packages, you know, I think Penn State's offense could be a very dynamic one with the weapons they have in the backfield and in the receivers. Defensively, Brandon Bell and Naeem Wortman-White were there, and they're very excited. You know, obviously the linebacking core is going to be, has a lot of talent, a lot of experience. The secondary is a lot of talent, a lot of experience. The question there, of course, is the experience on the defensive line and how quickly there's some talent there, young talent, but how quickly they acclimate themselves. But, you know, I get the feeling, you know, Naeem was very – I stood there for about a good 20 minutes on Monday. And, you know, he says, I don't care where I play. I just want to be on the field. I don't care if I have one tackle in a game. I just want to win. This is my senior – you know, could be my last year. You know, it's a senior year. Whether he applies for a sixth year hardship, that remains to be seen. But he said, I want to win. I want to win. And that's all that matters.
And you know what? I think that's going to be the prevailing attitude, because I've heard too many people tell them that seven's not enough. And you know, and they know what the tradition of the place happens to be. What were a couple of other takeaways maybe from others looking at this Big Ten media day?
Well, the big one to me was Urban Meyer's confidence about the youth on his team. You don't hear many coaches talking about, you know, how excited they are about the young players on their team. He's very excited. He didn't back away. They only have, I think, six returning starters on offense and defense.
Exactly.
Yet a poll, you know, the Cleveland Plain Dealer did a poll. I was included in that, of Big Ten writers, and the poll picked Ohio State to win the league. So it tells you something about the respect people have for that program. But Urban was asked several times, you know, are you more concerned about their inexperience or more excited about their potential? He said, I'm excited about their potential. And, you know, that struck me. You know, he said that the group of guys that left may be one of the greatest groups of football players the school has had. You know, but this group is you know, which is scary here, could be more athletic or as athletic as any team that I've had. So that's kind of a scary thought.
Right.
So that one struck me. You know, the other one was Kevin Wilson, you know, talking about trying to shore up the Indiana defense, but saying, you know, we're gonna be fun to watch again on offense. Well, you know, that was his parting shot, which is true. You know, and the other one was the condolences and sure, which were heartfelt, and about Sam Fultz and Mike.
Mike Sadler.
Thank you, Mike Sadler, former Michigan State punter. I think that was heartfelt, and you know, Mark D'Antonio on Tuesday just talked about Sadler and what kind of kid he was, and you know, you could tell that you know, that he was really affected by the car accident that took his life on Saturday night. So those are a couple of things that struck me.
You know, Michigan State is interesting. I think Ohio State is a position where we know it's first. I mean, obviously Urban's record speaks for itself, and what Ohio State's been doing year after year speaks for itself. So look, I think everyone, that's what you talk about. A lot of people expect them to be good, even in transition. To me, Michigan State's the one that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they established enough to do the same thing? And I'm not so sure they are.
Well, we'll find out this year.
Yep.
This is the year.
This is,
you
know, this is it right here.
Right. This is a transition year for them, too. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. You know, they've done really, really well these last 3-4 years, but you know, they've lost a lot. They lost a lot off that team, so that it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they manage through this. And you're right, if they do, you know, they win 9 or 10 games, then, you know, hats off, tip of the cap to them. But you're right. I mean, that remains to be seen, to see if they can do it.
Yeah. Jim Delaney's press conference. Did you get to that or not?
No, because we were interviewing Sandy Barber at the same time.
Well, that's actually better. So
yeah, well, but I, you know, obviously the news came out later in the day that reports, I should say, that he's planning to retire in 2020. And I will say this is pretty obvious, but I don't think there's anybody who's been more, who's had a greater impact and been a bigger influence and a more of a power broker in college athletics than Jim Delaney.
Well, let me put it this way. in terms of the money part of it, and I don't think 14 partners, now it's 14, could have asked for more financially than what they got out of their commissioner over the 30 years they've had.
No, no. I mean, for him, for what he's done for the Big Ten Conference, I think he'll go down in history. He may go down in history as the most effective conference commissioner ever. You know, Penn State fans could say this or that about him, and you know, whatever. But in terms of, you're right, financially, what he's done for the conference members, that nobody should have a complaint.
Right. I mean, that part you can't. Penn State now is going to head into camp. I mean, we know quarterback is going to be something that people will look at. What's the impression you got, especially from Bell and Wardman, if they talked about it, about how the defensive line will play out? Because those are the guys that essentially have to open up holes for them to make tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brandon said, what a lot of people said in the spring, that the guy that it really surprised everybody and that really could be an impact player is Kevin Givens.
Yeah, you know, and what? That's a former defensive end, Rich, that in my opinion, in watching him, he's now bulked up to about 270, but he still has maintained his defensive end quickness. And that's where I think it's going to be an important key for him.
Right, and I think that's the key. No, I mean, they didn't go into names, you know, but I did ask Brandon that. I said, you know, the one guy, and he, you know, that could be, you know, could really have an impact on the defensive line, and he said Kevin Givens. So that he'll be interesting to watch. And of course, we all heard, people who cover the team heard that during the spring.
Sure.
But yeah, that is, I mean, the two lines obviously are key to the success of Penn State's team this year. You know, I'll be interested, you know, from because of local reasons, you know, how Michael Mennett fits into everything. You know, does he become part of the rotation, which I think he will be, and I don't know that, but I think he will.
But you've watched him, Rich, right?
Yeah, I saw him play twice last year, and twice as a junior.
And you just flat out like what you say.
He is
really good,
tremendously athletic. He's got all kinds of athletic skills. Now he's up to 296.
Right.
You know, he's put a good chunk of weight on. You know, almost probably 20, 21 pounds since the end of his senior season at Exeter.
I'll tell you, though, I saw him Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him Tuesday night, Rich. He looks lean at that weight. That weight fits him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just think he's the most athletic big man that I've seen here in Redding and Berks County since I've been here.
Wow.
And it's coming up on 30 years. And football player. I mean, he's got great feet. I mean, they played him at tight end. They played him on special teams. He blocked punts. I mean, lined him up in the middle, on the end. You know, it didn't matter. They lined him up at tackle. They lined him up at guard. It didn't matter. He was effective anywhere they put him. And, you know, I'm interested to see how that all plays out. I don't know. Of course, I don't have any answers. But I do believe that he will be part of the rotation on the offensive line. And you know, it's interesting how it'll be interesting to see who plays left tackle. That's a big, big story. We're expecting, I guess, Andrew Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting. And then who's the right tackle? Is it going to be Paris Palmer? Is it going to be Noah Bay? You know, that's all remains to be seen.
If you were to have told me 3 years ago that Noah Bay would get the 300 pounds, I'd have looked at you and said, I don't think so. And he's at 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, it'll be interesting as always. But I do think, you know, going into preseason camp, you know, a week from now, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this offense works. And, you know, I think, like I probably said to you on an earlier appearance, nothing but compliments from the Patriot League coaches about Joe Moorhead, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how his offense goes.
Looking forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Same here. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Rich. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms. but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Peanuts are roasted fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register as you check out. Really well laid out, easy to navigate, lots of help. They'll get the cases to the car for you. Plenty of free parking. Pickle bar, by the way, great treat, second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills, all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Stop by, tell them we sent you over. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the Sports Bozo of the day. And the Raiders' Aldon Smith gone through a lot. Now, I give him a lot of credit for this. He's going to enter a treatment center. It's not clear what treatment he is seeking. But the news comes after a Periscope video surfaced that shows an unidentified man and woman taking out, talking about a hand-rolled cigarette. And at one point in the video, the woman tells the man that he shouldn't even be posting that and that he is stupid as he lights up. Well, Smith decided to enter a treatment center. And, of course, the story was broken by TMZ.
They were on top of it.
You know, they get stories other people don't get.
They even have their own half-hour show on FS1.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, their show to try to compete against SportsCenter went by the boards, and, okay, what are we going to put in there in this place? Oh, let's do TMZ Sports.
All right, let's get to Tom Verducci. I've done this week. First of all, I want to outline very quickly this premise.
Yeah, you were just kind of scratching the surface on the story at the end of the show yesterday.
I love the game no matter what. Pace doesn't bother me. You know, when I talk about pace of play, it doesn't bother me. When I talk about... Now, there's certain things I'd like to eliminate, which we'll talk about here in a moment, to make it better. But, you know, I do the New York Penn League. Last night's game was a little bit longer by New York Penn League standards, 245. Most games in the New York Penn League are between 220 and 240. That's pretty good. They move the game along. You don't wander around the batter's box. None of that stuff. They move the game. So I want to see the game grow and not stagnate. Major League Baseball sent out a survey to young people, and they've done this now for a few years, and they've been able to calculate the interests of young people. Here's the most disturbing part of that survey. Yes, interest in or participation in most sports has gone down. There was only one response that showed a gain among respondents. Guess what that response was, Sean? Okay, playing nothing at all. Okay,
Okay, participation in other sports went down, including baseball. The one response in the survey they got that showed a gain was the response of playing nothing at all. I don't like that. Can't force people to, but I got to tell it, that's a bad sign. So let's get into some of the issues he brings up. These are all food for thought. These are all brainstorming, worthy of discussion. So here we go. He'd like to see 6 timeouts per 9 innings. In other words, 2 timeouts every 3 innings. So if you go to extra innings, you get 2 more timeouts. And he'd count everything. And I agree with this part. You count everything. Catcher goes to the mound, talks to the pitcher. Infielder comes over, talks to the pitcher. Pitching coach comes out, talks to the pitcher. Pitchers are the most handheld group in sports during a game. When's the last time you saw Novak Djokovic coach come out? Jordan Spieth's playing the PGA. Where's his coach? Well, he just took a 6 on 14, just took a 5 on the par 3 15th. Coach going to come out and help Jordan Spieth, or does he have to go out and gut it out for the final 3 holes? NFL, yeah, you get 3 timeouts, but that's it. You know, most of the time, you're not yanked. And they're not pulling you aside to give you a little pep talk out there. NHL goalie, let up a couple goals. Guess what? Stay out there. Stay out there. Point guard in college, stay out there. Pitcher, stop the game. Stop the game. Stop the game. And part of it is a bailout by managers. Managers mismanaging the game and not anticipating. Suddenly they look around and say, oh, man, I better get somebody warmed up. Hey, go out and talk to him. I need to start warming a guy up. Tells the catcher, go out and talk to him. Pitching coach, go out and talk to him. All these delays because you are the one who mismanaged the game. You're the one that mismanaged the situation. So I think that's worthy of discussion. Because of the number of visits that go to a mound in a game, it can be at times absurd. Again, Novak Djokovic, no, he's out there himself. Jordan Spieth, no, he's out there by himself. Aaron Rodgers, alone. Andy Murray, and the Penguins goal, nope, out there by himself. Nope. Tony Carr is going to go be out there this year playing point guard for Penn State. Tony going to have to gut it out. Pat's not going to walk out on the floor and talk to you. And do you get 6? That's it. And that's what he proposes. Worthy of discussion. Relief pitchers. All right, here's a big problem in baseball. Do you realize that run production in the final 3 innings of games is 15% less than the rest of the game? 15% less. Strikeouts go up 23% in the final 3 innings of games because they're facing one power arm after another. You notice in the All-Star game, all the scoring is done in the first 4 innings. After that, power arm, power arm, power arm, power arm, power arm, 5 innings done, no runs scored. It's a miracle anybody gets on base. The 6 lowest on-base percentages in the last 42 years, 5 of the 6 have occurred in the last 5 years in the final 3 innings. Specialization is a big part of it. Ted Williams hit 521 home runs in his career. He did so off of 202 pitchers.
David Ortiz is at 527 home runs, but he's had to do it off 352 different pitchers. Ted Williams in his career, had 603 plate appearances against left-handers after the sixth inning. David Ortiz has 1,048 plate appearances against left-handers after the sixth inning, a 74% increase. Pitching changes, as Tom Verducci says, stop the game and depress the offense, neither which is good for the future of the game as an entertainment option. He points out that on May 25th, interim Braves manager Brian Snitker used 9 pitchers at a span of 16 batters. 4 of those pitchers faced only one batter. Time of the game for 13 innings happened to be 4 hours and 51 minutes. His proposal? A relief pitcher must face 2 batters. They just can't face 1. Okay, worthy of discussion. 154 game schedule in 183 days. In Japanese baseball, they play 144 games. In Japanese baseball, they have every Monday off. Monday, as we see here, is the weakest day of the week attendance-wise in Major League Baseball. His proposal would be modified. All right, you play 154 games in 183 days. Everybody gets Monday off except for one Monday game of the week as a showcase game. Okay. Here's one I absolutely agree with. No expanded rosters in September. We're going to expand the roster to 40. Baseball is the only sport that changes the game in the final month of the season. The NHL doesn't carry 25 guys instead of 20. The NBA doesn't carry 18 instead of 13. The NFL doesn't carry 60 instead of 45. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I've got 4 pinch runners. They're like on the U.S. track team on my bench to pinch run late in the game because I have a 40-man roster. I've always found that to be absurd and make no sense whatsoever. Completely agree with that. Lower the mound 2 inches. One of the worst offensive seasons ever for Major League Baseball was 1968. It's legendary. Remember we had Denny McClain on the show 2 years ago? Denny McClain, the last 30-game winner of the majors. He went 31-6 in 1968. But on the other side, Bob Gibson had a 1.12 ERA. Carl Yastrzemski won the batting title with a 301 average. Second was Danny Cater at 290. So they took the mound from 15 inches and they lowered it to 10. He now proposes they lower it to 8. It makes sense. Here's the reason why. Okay, if you know anything about rehabilitation of a pitcher, when they finally get back to throwing, what do they have the pitcher do? Throw on flat ground. Why? Because even athletic trainers know, well, they know better than we do, athletic trainers know the strain it puts on the limbs and the back pitching on a mound down. 1969, by the way, when they lowered the mound, offense exploded, I think in 2 reasons. A, for lowering the mound, and B, because there were 4 expansion teams as well. Seattle, Kansas City, you know, the Pilots, the Royals, the Montreal Expos, and the San Diego Padres. He'd like a replay clock. 30-second clock on mound visits is already there. Now a clock on managers to issue for a replay challenge. I would like to expand that. A 5th umpire should be added to the crew, along with a technician. Each
press box should have a separate room with monitors in it with that umpire there and the technician. That way the fifth umpire can anticipate the possibility that they might go up to, ooh, close play at second eight. Rack that play up right now. That way we're ahead of the game here. Just in case it's challenged. I want to look at it. All right? I think that's the investment you should make there. Then the other part, I'm not so sure about this one, the bonus batter. He points out, how many times in his career has Chapman of the Cubs faced Bryce Harper of the Nationals? Four times, ever. That's it, four. Well, he'd like to set up drama at the end. You're playing the Angels, Mike Trout. Say Mike Trout leads off, gets a base hit. There's another out. There's a walk, first and second. Two outs now. But Trout was named the bonus batter. You then exchange Trout for a pinch runner, and Trout gets to go to the plate as the bonus batter. Not so sure about that one. But these are all worthy things. Now, there are certain elements of baseball that are healthy. Number one, the game is averaging about 30,000 a game for all the games, which is really good. But attendance is down in 19 of the 30 parks this year. Now let's go to the plus side. 22 of the 30 teams win their ratings locally when their games are on in primetime. 22 out of 30 win their local ratings in primetime. That's impressive. Okay. Day baseball has fewer runs scored now than night baseball. That's never happened before. Players are struggling to pull themselves together after night games, and the lineups on day games are not comparable to that of the lineups of night games. Okay, one more with him. We'll talk about off-the-field stuff that he'd like to see in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
It's hot,
but nothing is as hot as the Red Hot.
Clear the lot.
Sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford. Now through the end of July, they have deals as hot as the Central PA sun. Choose from over 240 new Fords that are clearly marked with sale prices that have melted to the lowest levels of the summer. There's nothing hotter than the Ford F-150. SMC has over 125 new Ford trucks covering four city blocks with discounts up to 11 grand and starting at $22,749. Save up to $4,500 on new Ford Fusions that are priced as low as $18,915. And pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford Escapes. They start as low as $19,945. But you better hurry before the hot July sun sets on the Red Hawk.
Clear the lot.
Sales event at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
In there, I was surprised because I've seen him talk about this before, so maybe it's in a subsequent part. But shifts, I think shifts have been bad for the offense in baseball. I think there should be two on the left side of the infield, two on the right. And, you know, I don't want to hear this. Oh, I can't believe, you know, you should be able to move around anywhere defensively. No, really, you know, if the catcher steps out of the box, it's a balk. So they already have restrictions in at positions. The pitcher can only do certain things on the mound that unless it's called a balk. You cannot line up a fielder, your right fielder. Say, for example, you got a guy that's a dead pull hitter, and you're in the Oakland Coliseum with a huge amount of foul territory. You cannot line up the right fielder in foul territory. Do you know that? It's a balk. So you already have restrictions in play as to where fielders can and cannot be. I think shifts have been a boom for teams to stop, obviously, certain players, which I completely understand. They were all within the rules. But I think you should mandate two on the left, two on the right. Tom Verducci wants these stiffer penalties for PEDs. So the 80-game penalty first offense, he says, kind of ridiculous because research shows that PEDs last longer than 80 games. He says that there should be those who flunk should get a minimum of 2 years. Second test, you're out. That's it. You're done. Great American Game. He said they did a great job with the Fort Bragg game, but it was one of any other game that week. He says, here's his idea. He says, pick a game. Tigers against the Blue Jays in the Big House. Phillies against the Pirates at University Park. A little hometown there for Tom. Twins Brewers in Black Hills. Cubs Cardinals on the Field of Dreams in Iowa. Mets and Phillies at Doubleday Field at Cooperstown. He said something unusual, different. He said you only own the cycle in baseball for 5 weeks. He wants Major League Baseball to fund Morse College scholarships. I agree with this. I think it's their pipeline. I mean, it's their pipeline. Only 11.7 scholarships are available in college baseball. 1991, they cut it from 13 to 11.7. In other words, they cut it back by 10%. And the majority of first-round picks and the majority of six-year major leaguers come from college programs. He wants free tickets for youth organizations. I say absolutely. Youth organizations should get free tickets to Major League Baseball. The more kids you get into a game, the better. I am absolutely for it. It's an $8 billion industry. He says, and grassroots, loosely organized baseball. Look, I know the Little League World Series is coming up, and there are several Little League games I have now driven past in the past week. I was down in Philly. Saw a couple of games going on as I drove past. Last night at Williamsport, games were going on. But we got to get kids out playing in the neighborhood again somehow. I don't know how, but we have to. That's how I play. I played more baseball or football or basketball in pickup games than I ever did in organized.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.